And Travis, would you like to come up, please? Yeah. Awesome. Well, Father, I just thank you for Travis. I thank you for bringing him back here. He's a son in the house. Julie's a daughter in the house, Lord. They'll always be part of this church, Lord. We just thank you for that. Like a brother and a sister, son and daughter coming home. So, Lord, we celebrate who they are and who they are to you and who they are to us. And we celebrate the fact of what Travis has in him and how it's going to impact our lives. So please bless him, Lord. Bless him. Encourage him, even as he's given us what you gave him, Lord. Would you please out-bless him than what he's going to try to bless us with? Would you please do that? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Awesome. My mic turned on. There we go. It is awesome to be back home. Amen. Yeah. To see all your smiling faces here today, I'm just excited, you know. And Pastor Mike had asked me to talk a little bit about prayer encounters and what that's all about. And, you know, I just wanted to come in here today, beginning of 2020, and just encourage you with who you are, how God created you. Because the thing is God's created us for a relationship with Him. Amen? And so I want you to know exactly who you are, who God sees you as. Because if you don't understand who God sees you as, you're not going to understand who you really are. And if you can't understand who you really are, you're not going to be able to relate with Him, to walk with Him the way He wants to walk with you. Amen? And so prayer encounters is a different type of way of praying. If you grew up going to church and stuff, you think about prayer. I mean, you think about praying at different times during service. There's certain types of prayer. There's a prayer before the offering. There's a prayer when you first start service. You think about prayer at home. It's before dinners. It's at bedtime. It's when you get up in the morning. And we think of prayer as these regimented times that we have to do this certain thing. But you see, that's not what prayer is. Amen? Prayer is all about a relationship with Almighty God. That's it. It's just about learning how to talk to Him at any time, any place, and at the same time, not only learning how to talk to Him, but how to listen. And so I want to encourage us today. So if you have your Bible with you, or you can use one of the ones in the pews, I want to turn to Genesis chapter 1, because for us to really understand who we are, we have to see who God created us to be. Amen? And so in Genesis chapter 1, at the very beginning, God just got done creating the world and everything. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, this is what God says. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' And so God created man in His own image, and in the likeness of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" You know, and I just want to stop there, because we learn something about ourselves through the way God created us. And so you got to picture this. God is talking amongst Himself, because we know the Godhead is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're talking to each other as they're making this awesome world. And then now it comes to the point of making the pinnacle, the very top of His creation. He says to Himself, let's make them in our image. You got to see the smile and the joy on God's face when He chose to create Adam and Eve. But I want to say He had just as much smile on His face when He chose to create you. Amen. And when He created you, the Bible talks about that. He says, "I knew you even before you were knit together in your mother's womb. I knew you." The Bible also says that your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. And so if you're here today and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you've got to know that He knew you from before the world was ever created. He had a smile on His face when He made you, and He said, "Yes, I want to make John in my image. I want to make Rosa in my likeness. I want them to multiply. I want them to fill the earth. I want them to have dominion and to subdue this thing. See, this is how God created us. Amen? And so in the very beginning, it was exciting. And so we can see a few things of how he created us. He made us first and foremost in his image. And when you think of that, you might think of, if you have kids, you might have heard people say, wow, so-and-so looks just like his dad, or so-and-so looks a lot like his brother, or like his grandpa, or any family member. There's an image-bearing quality when you come from the same family, amen? God chose to make you a part of his family, and he's given you his image. And so I want to encourage you today, you might not see the image of God in you. You might see only what the devil is trying to distract you to see, or what the world sees. But you got to remember, the devil's a liar, amen? And the world is blind. So you can't trust either one of those, amen? So who can you trust? God alone, amen? And so I want you to understand that you are created in the image of God. But God didn't stop there. He says, let's not only just make them look like us, I want them to act like us. And that's why he says, let's make them in our likeness. I want them to walk in the things that we walk in. The things of ruling and reigning and subduing and having dominion. God says, I want to share this essence of who I am with them. See, this is how God destined you to be. But then we all know what happened, right? Sin came in. But before we get to that, we got to see that God said, you know what? My greatness, my likeness, my image is so great that it can't just be contained in one sex. So he split it into two, amen? Creating male and female, both in the image and likeness of God. And through that, God says, I'm going to use you to multiply and fill this earth with my image bearers and those that are my kids. And so here God is creating us. But he doesn't stop there. It says, then he says to them and blesses them and commands them to be fruitful and multiply. See, there's a blessing of Almighty God that comes upon humanity in the very beginning. Now, the devil would want to lie to you and say that that blessing has ended because of the curse, because of the fall. Not so. God's blessing is still here and as strong today as it ever was. Amen? Jesus Christ came in the flesh to prove that. And so now, what can we learn? That's about who God created us to be. But who is God? What do we see in these first couple chapters of Genesis? Well, first we see that he's our creator. Amen? He created us in his image and likeness. But beyond that, he's also our God. He is the supreme being over all of heaven, over all of earth, over all the universe. That's who he is to us. But we also learn that he's our commander. He gave specific commands in that blessing. When he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, it wasn't just a suggestion, right? It was a command from our creator, from our God, to do what he created us in his likeness to do. And so here God is commanding us. But you see, God didn't just command Adam and Eve to go do this on their own. No, he was right by their side. When God gave the job to Adam to go out and to name all the animals, God was right there, like a father alongside a son, saying, oh, I can't wait to see what my son does here. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. You see, not only is he our God and our creator and our commander, but he is our boss in the family business, amen? And he's right there by our side, and he's training us how to walk and act just like him. You see, that's who you've been created to be. But he's not just the boss. He's your friend. He's the one that wants to come at the end of a hard day, and he wants to just share a cold lemonade with you. He's the one that wants to go out and go for a jog with you to relieve some stress. He's the one that went with Adam and Eve and wanted to walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day. You see, this is who our God is, amen? And he's created you this way so that you can know him and so that you can have that intimate personal relationship one-on-one with him. Now the devil came in. We said the devil came. Sin and death entered to this world, caused this division. And that was the whole plan of the devil, was to destroy the relationship that mankind would have with God, right? But the devil forgot one slight detail. Our God, our Father, our Creator has loved us with an everlasting love. So it didn't matter what the devil did, because he couldn't stop that everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says that God loves you with an everlasting love. And because of that, he's continued his faithfulness toward mankind. So not only does he have this everlasting love for us, he's continued it, his faithfulness to us. Jesus Christ was the proof that Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, a part of the Trinity, chose at the very beginning, before the beginning of creation, to say, yes, I will die for Lee. I will die for Matt. So that they can walk in this everlasting love relationship with us for the rest of eternity. Not hell, not the devil, not even a fallen world can stand between that and me and them. Because this is who you've been created to be. It's about a relationship. You see, that's what prayer encounters are about. It's about learning to see who God is and that he actually is talking to you. It's not just about recognizing that I have these hurts, I have these wounds, I need healing, I need freedom. Yes, it's all about that. But most importantly, it's about a relationship between you and Almighty God, and the fact that he created you in such a way that you can hear him speak. You can see the thoughts he places in your mind, and you can grab onto those things and say, I know this is from the Lord. Because that is our God. Amen. He's our creator, and he created your imagination. He created your imagination so that it would give him glory. And there's nothing more pleasurable to him. Picture it this way. I can send you a text message, or I can tell you it in person, face to face. It's going to mean a whole lot more in person, face to face, than through a text message, right? Now, God could talk to you audibly, like on a telephone almost, because we can't see him. Or he can put his thoughts into your mind, because it says in his word that we have the mind of Christ, amen? And you can see it in 3D technicolor in your mind, what he's speaking to you. Tell me which one means more. I'll take the thought, amen? I'll take the picture, I'll take what he's showing me, because it's the mind of God, more than just a word. Now, yes, this word is important. We have his written word even, amen, which is, thank you, Jesus. But at the same time, I want to encourage you that he's not a far-off God. Just like he didn't leave Adam and Eve in the garden by themselves to do what he commanded them to do, he was right by their side. He is still right by your side right now as we speak. That's why Jesus said before he ascended into heaven that I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end of this age. Let me just tell you, the age hasn't come to an end yet. Amen? And so, he's still with us. In fact, it says his Spirit has been given to us, Holy Spirit, forever. That's that everlasting love that he has for us. It's a sign that he wants this relationship to last forever with us. Amen? And so, here we have this picture of what God is, what he's done through redemption. And that's why Jesus had to come. And so this verse in Isaiah or Jeremiah chapter 31 that says he's loved you with an everlasting love and he's continued his faithfulness is the same promise as what we see in John 3:16, where he says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Amen? That whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. It's the same promise. The faithfulness is Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. The love is the sacrifice he made on the cross. And you see, that is what he did for you. So that you would know without a shadow of a doubt that you are loved and that you are his best. You're his chosen. He's made you in his image and likeness. Amen? If there's one thing I want you to hear today, is that God is near. He's right by your side. He's been talking. You might not have been able to hear him, but he's been talking. And he's wanting no more, nothing less than you to walk out of this place today recognizing that you didn't leave him at church on Sunday waiting for you to come back the next week. That, no, he goes with you wherever you go. And you see, that's the joy of knowing God. And that's the whole purpose that Holy Spirit was sent to us, to dwell not just with us, but inside of us, so that we would know this redeeming power of our God. Now, if you have your Bible, you can turn over to Luke chapter 24. I'm not going to read the whole story, but I just want you to see in the Word where this is at. Because it's a powerful testimony to the relationship that God wants to have with us. Jesus gives us this awesome picture after his resurrection with two of his disciples as they're on this journey to a town called Emmaus. And these two disciples, you know, I would say are a lot like us sometimes. They were down and they were distraught. They were full of fear and despair. They didn't know what was going to happen. But yet Jesus was right there. And Jesus overheard their conversations as they're walking, and we see this wonderful picture of Jesus, and it says that he drew near to them. You see, I want us to see that no matter what's going on in our life, Jesus is going to draw near to you. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Church, I want you to understand that Jesus is drawing near to you today, and his whole intent is to go with you. But do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus loves you enough to go with you wherever you're going to go? Or do you believe maybe a lie from the devil that you're not good enough? Or maybe if I can stay sober this week, or if I can not give into that pornography this week, then maybe I'll believe that Jesus will go with me. No, Jesus is going to go with you no matter what. Through thick or thin, he's with you. And that's what we see in this picture. Jesus goes with these two brothers, even in the midst of their despair and in the midst of their hopelessness, not knowing what really happened to Jesus. We've heard rumors that he's raised from the dead, but I don't know. Is that possible? I don't know. Man, we had all these hopes and dreams that our king was going to set us free, and now we're in shambles. What are we going to do? You got to picture, what were they talking about? And to recognize that Jesus heard it, and he was drawn to them, and he walked with them. Now the story goes on. As they were walking, he didn't just come along as a silent partner walking with them. He entered into conversation with them, amen? Right. You see, that's what Holy Spirit was sent to do for us, to enter into conversation with us. See, that's the biggest lie of the enemy nowadays, because the devil knows that he couldn't destroy our relationship with God, because Jesus made sure that it would be made secure forever, amen? And so now the devil's like, well, what can I do? The Holy Spirit, which was sent to dwell in them and give them power and authority and anointing to fulfill the call of God in that they were created to do, I'm going to make them think that he's silent, that he doesn't have a voice. In fact, he's not even really a person. He's more just like this spirit that is floating around. He's kind of there, but it's almost like on Star Wars, The Force. We know it's kind of with us, but we don't understand it. And you see, that's not who Holy Spirit is. Amen? Holy Spirit has been sent as your teacher. He's been sent as your guide. He's been sent as the one who speaks to you everything concerning you that he hears Father and Jesus speaking concerning you. Everything. Now, if we believe the lie that the devil says that Holy Spirit can't speak, what are we going to miss out on? Everything that Jesus and the Father is speaking about us that concerns us, that concerns his will, his plan, his destiny for you, made in the image and likeness of Him. And so I want to encourage you today to begin to listen to what Holy Spirit's saying. What is Father and Jesus saying through His Spirit to you right now? Don't shut it out. Listen. What's His still small voice saying? And react to it. See, Jesus walked with these two disciples and He began to ask them questions. They began to give answers. You see, that's what a prayer encounter is about. It's about learning to hear the voice of Holy Spirit. And so the person that will bring someone through a prayer encounter, there's two or three people in this session. One person's listening to Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, what questions do you have? And they grab onto those things and they just speak the questions that Holy Spirit reveals to them. The next person is listening to Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, what's the answer that you want me to lay hold of? What's the truth that you want me to know? And then they just respond with what Holy Spirit reveals to them. See, it's learning how to hear Holy Spirit's voice. And through that, we see healing. Through that, we see breakthrough and freedom come in areas that the devil's meant to keep you in captivity in. And you see, it's not a once-and-done type of prayer. This is a lifetime of prayer, amen? Because it's not just an activity, it's a relationship. And so I want to encourage you today, like the two men on the road to Emmaus, they began to interact with Jesus more and more as they went along. Finally, it came time to a point where they were drawing close to Emmaus and Jesus was acting like He was going further on. And they're like, no, it's late. Why don't you come stay with us? Have dinner with us. What did Jesus do? He turned aside and He went in and had dinner with them was planning on staying with them. As they're breaking bread together, sharing this meal. See, you got to see the intimacy of this. Jesus isn't in a hurry to get on to His next task. He will spend as much time with you as you need. But you see, Jesus here in the physical could only stay with them for a short period of time. It's through His Holy Spirit that now He can stay with each one of us forever. Amen? And so, in the spiritual realm, this conversation, this relationship with these two brothers on the road to Emmaus is still going on today. Because now they're in the heavens with Jesus, still in this relationship. Amen? And I want to encourage you that the same relationship they had with Jesus in this snapshot of time is the same relationship that Jesus wants to have with you right here and now through His Spirit. And so I want to encourage you, as they broke bread, it says Jesus blessed the breaking of the bread, and then their eyes were opened. I want your eyes to be open to the fact that Holy Spirit is here inside of you, and He's speaking to you today. Amen? That He's not a God far off, but He's a God right beside you. Spirit to spirit, He is knit together with your spirit for eternity. Isn't that amazing? And so if you don't believe that God's whole purpose in creation was relationship, you're buying the lie of the devil. Because His whole intent was to share the family genes that God in Himself had and says, I want more to experience what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have experienced from forever. And so I want to encourage us today. Let's begin to look at this relationship through new eyes. You know, another story out of John chapter 21 after Jesus' resurrection is the story of Peter. We all know that Peter denied Jesus 3 times before he went to the cross. Peter was feeling disheartened and distraught. He felt like he was a failure. Peter felt like he was worthless. He felt guilt like you wouldn't believe. I can only imagine what Peter was feeling. I don't think I've ever would even come close to feeling as guilty as what he did, knowing that he denied Jesus 3 times. Imagine that glance that last time when Jesus looked at him and the rooster crowed. Imagine the weight and the guilt and the forces of hell that were coming against Peter in that moment. Now, look at this. Feel the turmoil that Peter must have been going through. And then they go back to what they knew, which was fishing. And him and John and several others were out in the boat. They didn't catch a thing. They were coming back to shore. And they see on the shore a man sitting by a fire. He says, "Why don't you throw the net on the other side of the boat?" And all of a sudden they do. And this net, all of a sudden, like that, is bursting at its seams, about ready to split in half because of the amount of fish. And in that moment, Peter knew it was the Lord. He put his outer cloak on. It says he jumped in the water and swam ahead of the boat to get back to shore as quickly as possible. See, in that moment, Peter is just wanting to make up for the torment that he's feeling for denying Jesus. And there's nothing he could do that was enough. But he needed to get to Jesus. And I want to encourage you today to be like Peter. Get to Jesus, whatever it takes. Peter probably still wasn't thinking clearly about himself in that moment. Peter was probably still thinking that I'm a failure, but man, if Jesus could just set me back, I'll be content to be a failure as his lowest servant. But that wasn't Jesus' intent, was it? His intent was to fill what was prophesied about Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. And God's intent with you is not your failure, but who he created you to be. Amen? Prayer encounters help us lay hold of that. Help us to hear the voice of Holy Spirit. Help us to get the shackles and the shame and the guilt stripped away. Amen? Holy Spirit's a gentleman in all that he does. He will never shame you. He'll never condemn you. But he'll bring you so close to Jesus that you'll be touched by him and forever changed if you'll let him. And so here Peter is with Jesus now on the shore. They begin to cook some of the fish and they enter into this conversation. Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, son of John, do you love me?" Imagine the pain that shot through Peter's heart in that moment. Knowing the torment that he was already feeling. Knowing the betrayal that he already went through. And now Jesus is asking him, "Do you love me?" Peter could only do one thing, but just probably drop his head and almost in tears say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Imagine the pain it took to say those words, knowing what he just did a few days before that. What's Jesus' response? Is it to put him down? Is it to make him feel less than? No. He says, "Feed my lambs." Imagine how that made Peter feel. Wow. I just did this to the Lord, and now he's telling me to take care of his little ones. He's entrusting his little ones to me. His head had to be a whirlwind. And Jesus goes right back into it and asks him again, "Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter must have been thinking, oh, imagine the voices of the enemy trying to come at him in that moment. You're a failure, and he knows it, and he's trying to make you see it too, that you're a failure, that you really don't love him. And Peter answers again, "Lord, you know that I love you." And he says, "Okay, tend my sheep." And so Peter's got to be just mind blown now. And then one third time. And you see, he asked him again, "Do you love me?" And now Peter says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus says back to him again, "Feed my sheep." You see, the whole thing is that Jesus never saw the failure. He only saw the potential of who he created Peter in the beginning in his image and likeness to be. And I want to encourage you today, God doesn't see your failure. He doesn't see what the devil may be lying to you about. What he sees is who he created you to be. And I want to encourage you, open your eyes, allow 2020 vision to come into you and see who He's created you to be in spite of your flaws, in spite of your failures. Jesus' blood covered it all. Amen. We just took communion professing that truth, that His blood was shed for complete remission of our sins. Like Pastor Mike said, not just past and present sins, but all of our sins until these earth suits are made brand new once again. Amen? That's the truth. And so we have to begin to recognize this great love that Jesus has for us. This great love that Father has for us. And that's the reason they sent their Spirit to dwell in us. And I want to encourage us today to begin to lay hold of that truth. See, God demonstrated his love by what it says in Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? So if you don't think God loves you, you just have to ask the question, well, did Jesus die for me? Yes. Well, then He's already shown me that He loves me. I don't care what the world or the devil says. I know He loves me because Jesus died and He rose again. Amen? Amen. That's for me. It's for you too. But mostly right now it's for me. Amen? And that's the good news that Jesus is putting in you to begin to share with others. Because, you know, this love relationship God wants to have with us isn't a one-way relationship. It isn't just about God redoing and making up for our screw-ups. Amen? It's about us recognizing who He's created us to be and saying, you know what? I'm going to lay hold of this now. I want to lay hold of who God created me to be. You know, Luke 4, 17 through 21, Jesus, at the beginning of His ministry, He's in the synagogue, He's handed a scroll, and He stands up to read this scroll, and it happens to be Isaiah chapter 61. And in these verses, He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me, amen? And he, in these verses, He goes on, and He begins to talk about what God has sent Him for. And so if you got your Bible with you, I just want to read those verses. Luke chapter 4. So Jesus is standing there. Verse 18, Luke 4, 18. We'll read through verse 20. Actually, we'll read through verse 21. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Says, He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. It says, and then the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on Him. It says, then He began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Powerful what Jesus came to do, amen? And so that means Jesus came to do all of these eight things for you. And so I want to encourage you, though. Like I said, this love is a two-way street. He wants us to begin to do these things for each other. And you think, oh, how? I can't walk in that. I believe, isn't that a weird way? It says, He began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He began to say it. Why? Because I believe with all my heart that these verses are still going on today through you and through me, through the presence of His Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than I did. It's because now there's multiple of us, sons and daughters of God, recognizing who we were created as in His image and likeness, recognizing Holy Spirit has been sent to dwell in us, and now we've been given the same commission because it says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. If you're here today and the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, I want to encourage you to lay hold of that truth. Amen? Because this relationship that we have with Almighty God is a following relationship. And so we've got to begin to see when Jesus prayed before he went to the cross for the disciples and all who would believe. It says that he said in verse 18, John 17, verse 18, he says, Father, as you have sent me, so now I am sending them. That was his conversation with Father God. You sent me to do this, now I'm sending them, much the same way. And then I want to have you turn to John chapter 20. Because God hears this prayer from Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross, pays for sin and death. He's raised from the grave, and right before he ascends back to heaven, he repeats this now. Because now we see the fulfilling of what he prayed. He prays this out to God his Father, and now we see the culmination and the answer to his prayer. So John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. And it says this. So Jesus comes, he appears to the disciples behind locked doors. He shows up and he says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Can you say me? Because that's the truth of it. And goes on and he says this. He says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. You may think that that's kind of weird that he throws that thing in about forgiveness of sins after that. It's not weird. It's showing who you are. It's showing the authority he's entrusting to you. What was the one thing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees always wanted to see Jesus die for? It was for forgiving sins. Only God can do that, they would say. Blasphemy, they would shout. And it got under their skin that Jesus would not only heal people, but he would actually forgive their sins. Amen? Now the Spirit that was on Jesus, this call that was on Jesus, is now on you, and you've been anointed, and not only anointed to do what he was doing, but even to forgive sins like he did in Jesus' name. When's the last time you forgave someone of their sins? And I don't mean tongue in cheek, but really forgave them. Or you're in prayer for someone and you're crying out to God on their behalf and they didn't even sin against you, but you're begging, God, would you grant them leniency? God, would you give them your mercy? God, and open their eyes to see your love for them. That's the power of forgiveness that I'm talking about. That's what Jesus left us with. Amen? And I want to encourage us. It only comes through knowing Holy Spirit and knowing his voice. That's why prayer encounters or healing prayer is so important, because it's healing our relationship with him. It's growing it closer, knitting us closer together with God. And yes, we receive benefits out of that. Amen? We see forgiveness of sins. We see healing. We see bonds broken in Jesus' name. Amen? But it starts with hearing him. It starts with seeking him. Amen? And so I want to encourage us today to begin to really seek him. If you're not sure that Holy Spirit wants to talk to you, I want to encourage you. I'm going to give you an assignment. Go through the Gospel of John and begin to look at all the times that Jesus talked about Holy Spirit and what he was sent for. Because Jesus is very clear. Jesus only did what we saw him do on the face of this earth because of his relationship with Holy Spirit. You've got to remember that. He did nothing of his own accord. Remember, it was Holy Spirit that drove him into the wilderness for a time of testing and temptation by the devil himself. And see, Holy Spirit is working in your life. And he might lead you through some difficult times, but it's only to show you who you really are. Amen? It's only to show you that God is by your side, just like Psalm 23 says. Even though I walk through a valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but guess what? My cup runneth over. Amen? It's the same in the Old Testament as it is the New Testament. God loves you, and he's for you. He's created you to be like him and to walk in close relationship with him for the rest of your days and forever. And he's calling you and equipping you to go out and share that good news. That's why Jesus says, I'm proclaiming this good news to the poor. Jesus wants you to begin to proclaim it. Jesus wants you to begin to look with spiritual eyesight at people that might be in bondage that need to be set free. He wants you to begin to look for people that are brokenhearted and need to be healed. Amen? And he wants you to begin to talk to them. You see, this prayer encounter thing isn't just for the saved. It's for the lost as well as the found. Amen? And so I want to encourage us today, not only to get it for ourselves because it's awesome, but to begin to share it with people. When you're at the grocery store or you're at work and you see someone that's downcast, that's in despair, you have the answer. You have the authority and the power to see that person set free in Jesus' name. But do you believe it? Do you believe what Jesus said would accompany those who believe? That's what it really comes down to. He said, you will cast out demons. It wasn't an option. It was a reality. If you truly believe and you begin to walk in this following relationship with me through the presence of my Spirit in you, if you receive and wait for his Holy Spirit power to come in you, you will do this. Because you can't help but not do it. Amen? And so I want to motivate us. God wants to motivate us. Amen? I need it just as much as you do. To recognize that Holy Spirit is here. He's inside me. He's inside you. He's speaking right now. Do you hear him? Do you hear his still small voice? And I just want to encourage you today to begin to walk in what he's called you to walk in. To begin to look at that verses that Jesus read when he started his earthly ministry. And is like almost Jesus saying, this is my punch list. Because it is the year of the Lord's favor. Amen? Can we do the same in 2020? Until the rest of our days? Or until Jesus Christ comes again? Can we begin to say, yes, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to do this punch list that Jesus was working on. Jesus began to say it was fulfilled in their hearing. Can we say it's continuing to be filled in your hearing? Amen? And so today I just want to close with praying for you for healing. Pastor Mike prayed a little bit ago because there's a lot of sickness going on. But I believe there's something more of God in this house today that he's saying, you know what, I want you to experience and to see the truth of what my word says. That my Spirit is real, he's speaking and he's moving and he's given authority for these things. And these signs will accompany those who believe. And so if there's anyone here today that says, you know, I've been dealing with this and I want to be healed. It can be physical, it can be spiritual, it can be soulful, anything that you want to be healed for. I'm just going to invite you to come on up, and I want to pray for you. I want to anoint you with oil like the word says, and we want to lay hands on you and believe it done in Jesus' name. Now, I also want to say this. If there's someone in your life that you've been interceding for, that you know needs a touch of God's healing in their life, would you come and have your hands anointed so that you can go to them and lay your hands on them? Now, there's nothing special about the oil, but it's almost like when Peter sent the handkerchief out. It was the presence of Holy Spirit. It was a sign that God's Spirit goes with all of us. Amen? And so I want to see you begin to walk in the signs and wonders that God said we'll walk in. But you know what? It's going to take us believing. Jesus asked several times when he would do healing, do you believe? Do you have the faith to see it happen? So I want to encourage you today, if you have the faith that Jesus is real, that his word is real, that his Spirit is alive in us today, and he's wanting to continue on, then come on up and let's see a move of God in this place. Amen? So come. Anyone that wants healing, Nothing to be shy of. Nothing to be, oh, I'm not sure, God, is this, I don't know if this is really of you right now. Maybe I'll just wait and I'll just pray at home and hope something happens. If you're sensing Holy Spirit is nudging you, if you feel inside your heart is getting tight and you feel your heart starting to beat a little faster, Holy Spirit's trying to move you right now to get up and get healed and to begin to walk in that following relationship with Him. Amen.